When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN 2, and ESPNU. We were talking about Jamal Murray lighting it up in that fourth quarter, much to the chagrin of Keyshawn Johnson, of course. One thing about him going nuclear like that. Blue Arrow. As great as Jokic was in game one with that triple-double, to me, Jamal Murray's 23-point fourth quarter was more impactful for Denver than what Nikola Jokic did in game one.
And he's doing it all off, like, you know, he would set a screen and then, you know, off that screen action, then run towards a dribble handoff from Jokic. And he just, you know, once he gets going offensively, he's prolific. I mean, back-to-back 30-point games. He's had some 45, 50. Like, he's had games of that nature where that's been the question around Denver, right? They know how good Nikola Jokic is, but they wonder if Jamal Murray in big moments shrinks or actually expands his game. And last night was, I think, a massive statement. That's why I thought, you know, you always get these topics when you're on radio or TV and, you know, you're thinking different things, like who's the best duo,
right,
you know, left in the playoffs, and you start going through rankings. And for me, I had Jamal Murray and Jokic just because of the way they can play off each other. Because Jokic is such a gifted passer. I mean, last night, another triple-double, and he had a poor game. He didn't play well last
Relatively speaking, yes.
Like, I mean, he wasn't even aggressive in the first half, where you felt like, yo, man, when you got those chippies, take those shots instead of these no-look passes. But he gets people involved. And for Jamal Murray to finish it the way he did last night in the fourth, I think continues to prove why they are one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
I can't wait. Yes, you.
Was I supposed to go?
Yeah, I suppose. Your name's on the show, so it would be nice. I know what you're doing. You
know,
I get it.
No, I'm not doing anything. It's just, it's in my head. Clock, you know? Look, Murray played well in the fourth quarter. There's no question about it, Jay. You know, I thought if we could have somehow neutralized him, we win that game. And I think we now have to look at the film of the fourth quarter of this game, go back and take a look at what took place in the second half, late in the fourth quarter of the first game, so we could close the gap and kind of take those game plans from the end of the game in the first game,
okay,
to what we did in the beginning of this game, the 3.5 quarters or so, and put that together to come out with an efficient game plan rather than, like you said, why is Vanderbilt playing less minutes, starting the game, but playing less minutes when he's more effective being on the floor from a defensive standpoint, but we don't have him out there in crucial situations when he's maybe the guy who is a stopper. So we got to look at all that from a film standpoint. And I think Coach Ham will get to that, because when you have two games of footage, you can now go back and make those necessary adjustments and say, hey, we did this in game one. Here's what we did in game two. Let's put that together and see if we have a positive outcome.
So, Key, I mean, back at home is where typically players who are off their game find their rhythm. Like we've seen throughout multiple series in the playoffs, role players, you know, whether it be Landry Shamet going for 19 points or – you know, guys who feel more comfortable at home. And it's not really a role player, but the stats around the two games in this series around D'Lo are staggering, man. Staggering. Mm-hmm. The Lakers are scoring 109.6 points per 100 possessions with D'Lo on the floor and 119.5 points per 100 possessions with him off the floor. Like, that's a big difference.
This is on the road right now in the first two games.
First two games.
Defensively, Key. Lakers are giving up 142.4 points per 100 possessions with D'Lo on the floor versus just 81.6 points per 100 possessions with him off the floor.
And so maybe he's just more comp. Maybe he is a role player, so to speak, not a bench player, but a role player who plays better at home, because if you look at his home numbers, I'm sure they're not that staggering. Because the games that I've gone to when he's been at home, he's been pretty electric at times for us. So going back home could be a plus, and that's why I keep saying, yeah, we down 0-2, Mike Malone. That may be true. You can put the pipe and smoke it and do all that, but you're going to have to bring it to the Staples Center. You're going to have to bring all that to the Staples Center over these next two games. That's just the reality of it.
That's true, but here's something that the Lakers, and Jay, you can trampoline off of this. For the first time in the playoffs, the Lakers had to deal with shot makers on the other side. They didn't have to deal with that so much consistently from the Memphis Grizzlies, especially when Desmond Bane didn't play well, Ja Morant was not in the right kind of headspace, and we know what happened to Dylan Brooks, where he got in his own way. With the Golden State Warriors, yeah, you know Steph Curry is going to make shots, but Klay Thompson didn't do it, Andrew Wiggins didn't do it, and also Draymond Green did it at times.
Jordan Poole was trash.
Let's call it as it is.
Yeah, but those dudes, historically, you trust that they're supposed to make.
True. But I'm talking about this playoff run right now. Now they're running a Denver Nuggets team where if Jamal Murray's not doing it, or Nikola Jokic's not doing it, Michael Porter Jr. did it when they went on that 10-0 run in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Also, you had Bruce Brown doing it. Yeah, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope doing it. They have long shot makers. And that is something I can't wait to see, Key and Jay, if they can make that adjustment, even though they're going home for game three and game four.
I think the question, Key, though, is, look, you have to win 4 out of 5 games now. There are no more nights off.
Yeah, right?
I'm just saying back-to-back 40-plus minute nights for LeBron James and AD.
I get it.
And now you're getting into a rhythm where their cadence, like I said earlier, their cadence has been go hard to the wall, like get one, and then they punt, right? Like, and it's like saving legs. And now what I'm saying is there's no more punting. Like now it's like you got to win 4 out of 5 games, and typically, like, even if you get 2 games, like coming back, like the pace of the art. Here's one thing. Here's a way I think you guys can get a game.
Okay.
Like get this game coming up in LA. AD has to stop going to the offensive glass, man. Like he really does. I mean,
explain to me in layman terms what you mean by he has to stop going to the offensive glass.
So AD crashed the offensive glass last night, every possession it felt like, and he got you 1 offensive rebound. But what happens to that, Key, is by him crashing the offensive glass, if you notice, every time Denver got a rebound, they pushed the tempo.
Because that's what they want
right?
to do.
So they want to speed up the tempo of the game. And when AD is caught under the basket, it automatically leaves the Lakers vulnerable for them to attack the rim. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
They don't wall off on defense when they get in transition.
So they're so good. Yeah. They're so, like I said, and we talked about this, Key. Your squad is so good in the half-court defense. They're one of the best in the NBA, but they're also one of the worst in the NBA at transition. Mm-hmm. So Michael Malone and company is like, oh, okay, great. You want to attack it? We're going to get the defensive rebound. We're going to push the ball. And it also wears AD out. And but that takes away from his legs offensively as well. That's why his shots are short most of the time.
But if we don't – yeah, he has some short shots. But if we don't crash the offensive boards with our big, who else is going to get underneath that with Jokic? I mean, that's – the length is there. We're going to expect LeBron to do it. I mean, like, who's getting the board, especially if it's not a long rebound?
Yeah, Hachimura can do it.
Hachimura can – because I think, actually, Hachimura is way faster, first off, than AD. And by the way, like, let's be honest, AD conserves his energy, man.
All Lakers fans know this. Running.
Like, yo, Rui, yo, straight up. And the thing, when Rui had, 21 points? Like,
only missed
like
one
21
shot.
21 points. He had 7-7 in the first half. I don't understand why he wasn't used more, like, right off the top. Like, okay.
Look at
like,
AD you had his in the background.
That's what I'm saying, right. Key.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
look
what he's saying.
Look at AD. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's actually him running, but it's like a jog. Boom, Jeff Green bangs it. Another offensive rebound. Like, AD, like, just down the court by himself. Like, it's Jokic in transition. That's what they had. That's what they did all day long.
See, I do think, though, too, not only combined with the
– where's AD in this one on ESPN, too?
Behind on the left.
My man
side.
Flared out. He flared out on one play.
All you got
to
do is look for the white. So when you think about it, the white Sox style.
The white Sox and the white headband.
Wow.
And when you think about it, though, combined with the minutes that he's playing on, not necessarily LeBron, but him, because he is non-hustle face.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before.
You talk about the minutes, but also I believe based on that, the fatigue of the altitude and all of those sort of things, because you can tell the difference between him at home and him on the road. Even when he scored the 40 points the other night, he still was behind a lot. He still was not moving in certain transitions. He just looked like a non-hustle face to me.
Okay, Nuno and I, our producer Nuno and I were talking about this before the show got started. If you've been there the past couple of days, if you're the Lakers, can you use the altitude as an excuse in game two compared to game one?
No, you shouldn't be able to, but everybody's bodies adjust differently. So maybe it doesn't affect Austin Reeves, but maybe it affects AD. Or maybe it doesn't affect LeBron, but it affects the coach. I mean, who knows, you know?
I mean, look, LeBron looked tired down the stretch, man.
He looked gassed.
He looked gassed. And by the way, I think he had a great defensive game. But this shot slump thing, the worst he's had probably since the 2014-15 season with the Cavs. I mean, he's shooting 23% from the three-point line. So, you know, we talked about it in over time that when you lose your first step as you age in this game, the tendency is to counter that by, now I can't blow by you, but I can body by you, which means my shoulder may be aligned with your shoulder, but I can carve you out, right? So if I'm driving on the right side, I'm literally carving you out towards the middle of the floor to create space for me to finish on the right side of the rim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when they're sagging off of him, they're daring him to shoot. And he's settling for it because he's tired at the end of games.
Because he's doing so much. And when you have to rely on older players that carry the weight and the other guys other than Hachimura have not been able to step up.
And think about what we said, Key, with game one. Like, a lot of people were angry at Bron in the game scenario. Jamal Murray has 5 fouls. And LeBron settles for a deep three.
Right.
Where, you know, vintage LeBron would have punished him. Would have put him right in the bucket.
Yeah, but he can't go past people.
That's
like
what I'm saying. That's what I said. Right, so that shooting slump, that's where you can't afford to have off nights from AD.
But I'd be interesting to see. And you said, I know overall in the fourth quarter he's 1 for 20, Freddie said. But it'd be interesting to see at home what it looks like.
What that shooting percentage is at home.
What it looks like at home versus being on the road in this particular altitude.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see.
And especially, you know, LeBron's going to go back into the lab over the next couple of days and work on the things that he knows he better be able to.
Quick turnaround, though.
Oh, there's definitely a quick turnaround, but at least going back home, doing those kind of things, we'll see if that's going to manifest itself into Game 3 with the Lakers down 0-2 to the Denver Nuggets. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max brought to you by Beacon. Beacon and the Beacon Pro Plus app helps roofers get things done from anywhere 24/7. Beacon, always building. So the Denver Nuggets have a guy who can really pass the ball well in Nikola Jokic. And many people are clowning the guy that should be doing that for the Denver Broncos. We'll talk about that next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You got Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Also, don't forget about us on ESPN2 and ESPNU. We're 75 days away from the opening of another NFL season. You're going to blink your eyes. It's going to be here before you know it. Let's bring in Jeremy Fowler. Oh, he does a great job as an ESPN senior NFL writer. Hit him
Jeremy.
On Twitter. Jeremy at J Fowler ESPN. So we saw a great passer. It was good,
hold
guys.
On.
We've
hold
seen
on,
a great.
On, Freddie, hold on,
go
Jeremy.
Ahead.
You got any lyrics you want to spit real quick? Yo, yeah, it's turn.
Oh, we're never going to let. Yeah, we're never going to let that go.
Right, that's my guy. This is what Jeremy does. I know he's not in studio. Just not sure he wants to spit any lyrics though.
Oh, you asked for the bar?
No, nah, don't worry about it, Jeremy. We'll do it next time.
Well, there's no beat. You guys.
Oh, there we go. Okay. You got a beat now.
Ooh, that Black Rob, though.
What was the one you were just playing?
Oh, you don't like it. I don't like it.
He's a Drake fan
Drake
today.
The Savage one was pretty good.
Take it away, Freddie. Take it away.
Good job.
Good burn there. Good slide there, Jeremy, that one. We've seen a great passer in the series when the Denver Nuggets play the Lakers with Nikola Jokic. What do you think it's going to look like with the guy they need to pass the ball with the Broncos, Russell Wilson, his first year playing under Sean Payton?
Ooh, it's a good segue. So, Russell Wilson is, he's got to be better. The Broncos expect him to be better. He expects to be better. It could not have gone worse last year. He's worked on some things that he feels like are going to help him improve based on Sean Payton's offense, which is, you know, a quicker passing game, which really isn't tailored to what he's used to, which is play action slash, you know, running around, making the big play, throwing deep. It's a little different. So, he is trying to make that adjustment, but just, they were so unorganized last year as an offense, and Nathaniel Hackett not lasting a full year. There was just, from what I'd heard, it was really chaos with just the system and the organization of things, trying to run a bunch of different plays to see what sticks. Russell Wilson will have structure in a big way, which is a huge thing for any quarterback. So I think just as a byproduct of that, he is going to be better. Do I think he's the same guy that he was 3 or 4 years ago? He probably won't be that again. But can he be a top 15 passer? Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I want him to also work on his court side clap, but that's another thing. Leave
him alone.
Two quarterback questions headed into this season available on ESPN Plus.
What? Leave that. The guy's got enough problems after 1 year in Denver.
Let him root for a squad, man.
I want him to work on his court side clap. That's all when he's rooting for the Nuggets.
He can't make it clap.
He just
no, he don't even do that. He
beat a little bit. It just didn't look right.
He ain't clapping like that, Fred.
I know. I tried.
As Dan wrote about this, does Dak Prescott, does he get a contract extension? Because Senior Vice President Stephen Jones certainly alluded to he's not worried about extensions and addressing issues with contracts right now.
Yeah, there's a chance of a key. I would put it at maybe 40-50%, just ballparking, because, you know, Dallas would be open to doing it, and Dak knows that. But since he's got 2 years left, he's not just going to take any deal to help the team. He showed that last time. He sort of bled this out all the way through the franchise tag and got a huge contract as a result. So, you know, he's like the type of quarterback that's going to leave dollars on the table just to do a deal early. Now, that said, both sides want to stay married to each other, and it does help Dallas to try to be aggressive now because they can spread out that salary cap over the next 2 years plus the new deal. Certainly helps them. But, you know, they got CeeDee Lamb they got to worry about. Like, they have some priorities in the short term that they're trying to shake out, and I haven't sensed any movement on this yet. So, you know, late summer could heat up, but not a slam dunk it happens because there's really no deadline. It's got 2 years left.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL writer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Higher probability, Jeremy, for this 1 year, who has a higher probability of saving their quarterback? Mike McCarthy for Dak Prescott or Sean Payton for Russell Wilson?
Good question.
Ooh, well, that implies that Dak needs saving. I'm not there yet. I know he had the turnovers, but he's still widely considered a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 12, but most people around the league still see him as that, where Russell has fallen completely off of that. So if we're talking better chance, I think Dak is set up for success more so in 2023 than Russell is, just because still a team in flux over there. You know, they had some receivers that were in and out due to injury. Dallas is sort of a proof of concept, proven commodity right now, where Denver isn't. Sean Payton took this job knowing he's got work to do. And you look, they signed Jared Stidham, the Raiders backup, in the offseason. I wouldn't sleep on that. I mean, Russell's going to get a full year, full run, maybe longer, of course. But they really like Jared Stidham. I think they signed him to a two-year deal thinking that, this is a potential guy who could be a starter for them down the road. Like this is, you know, Sean Payton's sort of stripping this all down and figuring out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, Sean won't have any issue moving in a different direction if Russell Wilson isn't doing what he needs him to do. Green Bay Packers moved on, obviously, from Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets, and now they're left with Jordan Love. Jeremy, but from everything you're hearing out from inside that building, is Jordan Love ready to take over in Green Bay, or is this being forced?
They believe he's ready. I think he's ready. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 years behind the scenes, and this is a team that doesn't promote a quarterback lightly based on their track record with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Like, typically they don't really stumble into something. Like, they usually know they have something in the tuck ready to go that's going to be a proven commodity eventually. So unless their front office is just making a massive whiff here, that's what I expect. And they don't whiff a lot. They've won a lot of games. So, yeah, this is a guy that, you know, from all I've heard, has put in a lot of work, really turned the page in year three. It was a year ago, I would have said, no, they're probably not quite there, that they think Jordan Love could be the guy. But now, after the last year, he had a really good year three behind the scenes. You know, I was at that Philly game that he came in relief. You know, I was watching from the sideline. He looked really good. So, you know, there's some positives here. They built probably a better offense around him. I mean, last year, Aaron Rodgers' best weapons were running backs, and his best tight end was probably Mercedes Lewis, who's been in the league 86 years. So now it's like you have a little more. You have two Mercedes tight ends in the draft. You got Christian Watson here too. Like, you can add more receivers. So they're going to have more to work with.
30 seconds left real quick, Jeremy. When you look at a quarterback also in that division, Justin Fields, is he ready to take that next step up for the Chicago Bears?
Well, I think so. They got him more support, and that's big. I mean, they just feel like he was trying to hold them together last year, keeping them in games they had no business being in based on the talent of their roster. So now he has more support around him. You know, like, they believe in his work ethic. They believe in his leadership, his ability. There are still some questions league-wide from some people I talked to about whether he can get it done as a passer in the pocket. Can he be, you know, is his ceiling going to be capped as a result of that? You know, the Bears don't think so. They think he can get that done and will progress in that area. So I'm gonna say modest progress. I'm not there that he's an MVP candidate or anything like that, but I think he's going to be knocking on the door this year.
32 bars from Jeremy, followed with the 32 quarterback questions heading to the season. That's available on ESPN Plus, courtesy of Dan Graziano. Always a pleasure having Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL senior. Right, hit him on Twitter, Jay Fowler, ESPN, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Catch him on Get Up starting at 8 o'clock Eastern time. That's in about 35 minutes. Always appreciate you, Jeremy. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend, my friend.
All right, Jeremy.
Hey, Jay, can you
say – Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Can you say JF?
Can I say what?
JF.
Can you say JF? Does that sound right? All right, JF.
No, I can't. No,
you got to say Jay Fowler.
You know, I'll be trying to find nicknames for everybody.
I was like, I'm surprised Jay didn't say JF.
JF don't sound right.
But you can say JFK.
Because of the pop at the end.
Yeah, John F.
JF,
Kennedy.
It feels like you want more. You know what I mean?
Jay Fowler works.
I told you before, I was playing with a guy that used to play in the NFL, and he was friends, you know, with us and Stephon Marbury, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
He said SM one day, like, oh, yeah, I was hanging out with SM. We was like,
who's that?
Who the hell is SM?
SM.
Who was SM?
It was Stephon Marbury, but
something else.
It was like, it's like, come on, man. Who the hell is SM? That doesn't even, like, come on. Just try to be cool.
Right. Yeah, he was. And sometimes, you know, when people who are not cool try to be cool, it can be very, very painful at times when they just do not land that well.
Let's go, Freddie.
I guess Starbury and Marbury didn't work all that time.
We're not
going to get in trouble here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Maybe we're concerned about the wrong guy when it comes to the Lakers being down 0-2 to the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk about that guy next on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We played Johnny Gill, my, for the Lakers being down 0-2 to the Nuggets, Allen Yates.
No, it was for Allen.
Wow. Welcome to the Quiet Storm.
Put on the lipstick.
Notice Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Get close to the one you love on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Tune in, and don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Always great to get a little NBA stuff going on, despite the Quiet Storm music in the background, as we bring the Quiet Storm, known as Alan Hahn, co-host of Barton Hahn on ESPN New York 90.7 FM, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m.
Alan After Dark.
This is really Alan Before Dark, Alan After Dark, trying to get the Lakers out of the dark, down 0-2 to the Denver Nuggets. Alan, we know that the concern has been with Anthony Davis being up and down, but right now with the Lakers down 0-2, how much concern should be placed to defeat LeBron James, especially his lack of shooting prowess in the fourth quarter from the three-point line?
First of all, I wanted to take in that song because I'm sitting in a closet right now. I've got a yellow light on me. Like, there's nothing set up here. This is as professional as things get around here. So the very least we could do is play really good R&B. So we little Johnny Gill, a little my.
So we're going from blue lights in the basement to yellow lights in the closet? That's what we're talking about?
This feels pretty close to a hostage video situation, I got to admit. You know, so when it comes to the Lakers, like, are they in trouble? Blink twice.
Oh, goodness
gracious.
But to be
completely honest, like, obviously, going home, I don't think they're in trouble because they now go home. And they've been a very good home team. And that building's going to be special. You know, the last time they were in the Western Conference Finals, it was some friends and family crowd it was Summer League. So this is, like, legit now. So this will be special. That building will be special. The vibe will be special. You imagine they'll be able to reach down, especially guys like LeBron and AD, especially Anthony Davis, to get you a performance that should get you back into the series. But, you know, I mean, there's concerns. I think just Denver held serve and did what they've been doing the whole playoffs for those who've been paying attention. They're a really good home team, really good clutch team. And that's essentially what happened in the first two games. They got it done, and now it's up to the Lakers for them to hold serve.
Alan, I want you to react to what I'm about to say.
I always do.
That's fair.
Completely.
D'Lo on the court this series, plus minus, minus 32.8. Off the court, Lakers are plus 37.9. That's all.
That's a problem, right? I mean, clearly. But I also, something that I noted, I saw after game one, because there has been this debate about what to do with him. And do you take him out of the lineup? And I remember seeing a note from one of our insiders that said that the Lakers are concerned because they might lose him. Hey, it's the playoffs. Like, you got to do what's best for the team at this point. And you could be upset about it, but, you know, what we're seeing out of, like, let's say the Miami Heat, is players just staying ready, being ready. So when they're called on, they step in the game and they know, all right, this is my role, this is what I got to do. So I don't want to hear that I'm going to lose. If I'm going to lose you by the third round of the playoffs because this matchup in this series may not necessarily be the best thing for you to help us win, I don't want to. If I lose you, then I've lost you already. How do I have you if I'm going to lose you in that situation?
Alan Hahn, co-host of Bart and Hahn, 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern on 98.7 ESPN New York, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and, of course, Max, who's off covering boxing this weekend. Alan, I asked Jay in Hot Sauce Freddy earlier about the way that this thing has gone with the Lakers and the Nuggets, because I strongly believe, just watching the games, like you say, if you watch, and I've been watching, this is could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Right? The Lakers could be up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're not. They're down. But when you look at the way that they came back in the second half in the first game and the way they started the second game, they very easily could be up 2-0. Is there any doubt in your mind, and I know you spoke about it a minute ago, any doubt in your mind based on them being 6-0 at home in the way that they play at home in front of the crowd that they get this one Saturday night first and foremost?
Yeah, I would probably, if I'm going to pick individual games, I would pick the Lakers to win game three based on everything that you just said. So I don't foresee a 3-0 deficit, and obviously barring injury or anything else like that. So I'm with you. They have been in these games. I think their defense wasn't the issue in game two. Their defense was the issue in the first half of game one, but for basically a game and a half since, their defense has been good. The problem with them in game two was they couldn't make a shot. They couldn't make the threes. LeBron really is struggling. It's the first time he's starting to look old offensively, and I hate it because I'm not ready to look at LeBron and think that he's old. Mm-hmm. But and Anthony Davis couldn't make a damn shot either. So that's the frustration, is that defensively they have been extremely competitive in this series for a game and a half. But it's, do they have enough offense for a whole series? Do they have enough, or can they get enough out of their two most important players, which is obviously LeBron and AD, to win four games in this series? I don't see that. But I also can see them reaching down and getting one or two in this series because of how good these guys are, and also understanding the moment. And game three, that's a special moment. It's going to be – that building's going to be special, game three. Come on, Saturday night, L.A.? Yeah, it's going to be special.
Yeah, I see the way you sugarcoated that. I see the way you padded on some extra pad at the end of it. But pretty much you just said that you see the Denver Nuggets winning this series 4-2, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's – you know, coming into the series, like, I thought it was going to be a dogfight. I still think there's a chance for that. But I will say, though, Alan, like, down the stretch, seeing LeBron James settle for shots,
that
is a sign of him being tired.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what that is. Mm-hmm. And for Anthony Davis, it's a sign of him being tired. Like, we showed about 9 clips on ESPN2 where literally Jokic is beating AD down the floor. How is that humanly possible?
Thank you.
It can't be. So when you're watching this, and I know that we're Laker fans are waiting for an explosion, and it can still happen. They can have one. But do I expect the Lakers to sustain and maintain a sense of urgency and win 4 games out of 5? I don't.
No, I don't. But I'm glad you brought that part of the Anthony Davis part up. Because how old is Anthony Davis? Is he 35, 36? How old is he again? 38?
No, he's not that old.
I don't think he's that old. Hold on, I'm going to find out.
He's nowhere near that.
Is he 40?
Nowhere near that.
Is he 40?
I mean, not even close.
He's 30 years old. He's 30 years old.
Are you
old.
Sure? Because we treat him like he's like 40 years old.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like, we treat him like
March 11th.
Well, can he do back-to-back games where he gives you a great performance? Why? What about him that we don't know about that he can't do that?
And wait, Alan, I thought Jokic was the weakest link defensively. Isn't Jokic guarding Anthony Davis?
And oh, by the way, all of AD's shots, most of them were contested yesterday, and a majority of them were contested by Nikola Jokic. That's why I asked that silly question. I know that he just turned 30, right? I'm aware of that. But why do we treat this dude? And when I look at him, why do I think, man, he's old? No, he's not. But he plays old. He looks old. And you're always waiting for two things. You're waiting to see, can he go back to – can he – like, this is, again, why I go to the whole bubble thing, Jay. And everybody gets mad at me. I call it Summer League. Here's why. Because that same series, the same opponent you had a couple of years ago in the bubble – he averaged 31 a game, 54% shooting. And every game, his numbers were astronomical. They were great. Controlled environment, no mile high, no altitude,
Alan, none of that stuff. No excuses, no travel, none of it. Alan,
you put him in this situation, now we're wondering, can he put back-to-back games together? Key, come on. We're making excuses.
Did you just say our championship was like summer league? Did you just say that?
Yeah, I can't say that, Alan.
Did you really just – a guy who's a Knicks fan, did you really just say that?
Yeah. What was summer league about it?
Oh man,
was it all in the same place?
Oh, stop.
Everybody's in the same place, right? It was an AAU tournament, a really good AAU tournament.
You think the Knicks would have took that championship and went home with it?
With that team? No.
No, I'm saying, what does it have to do with the Knicks?
But why does it has because, nothing to do with the Knicks?
Because you need to wake up.
Why
Bing
are we
bong.
Talking about the Knicks?
It has nothing to do with the Knicks. Of basketball I've seen in the
This has to do with Anthony Davis. And the fact that in a controlled environment, game after game, he can score. But 3 years later.
You just threw mud on our championship. Right, you called it a summer league championship.
Well, it was. It was. They were the best team in the
Would
summer.
The Knicks take it?
Why does it have to do with the Knicks? They weren't even in it.
I'm asking you, would the Knicks take it?
I already told you no, but I don't understand why this has to come back to the Knicks. All right, so I understand how this works. I can't have a critical vote. I can't have a critical comment about any NBA team because every time I have a critical comment, it always goes, what about the Knicks? What about the Knicks? They weren't in it.
The Lakers.
Weak sauce, Key. Weak sauce.
You're slandering the Lakers.
Slandering? I was talking about Anthony Davis.
No, you mentioned the Lakers with Anthony Davis.
Well, I mentioned Anthony Davis and how well he played against Jokic because we weren't worried about game to game with him. Specific to him.
Slander.
But now.
Key, I do feel like AD's 60 years old.
Come on. Like, seriously. Let's not get off topic and let's stay on the topic of your star, Key. Your star, who LeBron is looking to say, man, get me over the hump. And your star is the one that looks more tired than the 38-year-old. And we're just accepting it. I wonder if AD can give us another good performance tonight. What?
He'll like, be all what? Right. You like, don't worry about it.
But he played defense, though. He really played good defense, so he got tired on offense. Again,
don't worry about Julius Randle. Don't worry about us.
That'll be fine.
We'll see these guys. Barrett and company. We'll see what they can do.
We'll see these guys.
Jay, I miss you, Jay. He's great.
Jay, I miss you, Jay.
He's hitting you with that Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope right now.
He really is. Alan, always a pleasure. Go to your neutral corner, okay?
I'm going to bleep twice. I'm in trouble.
Alan Hahn from Barton Hahn, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN
New York.
Now
you know what it feels like to be in the dark.
Oh,
don't like
stop
it.
98.7 here. Joining us is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Boy, we're going to get fired today. He's Keyshawn Johnson. He's Jay Williams. I didn't say yes at all of us. Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman. Speaking of the NBA playoffs, we're going to tell you why this is the biggest mismatch in the NBA playoffs that's going on right now. Keep it here, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Blink twice again.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Little Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock with us here on the Friday Groove, known as Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, and ESPNU. Jay, you can start this off because I know you got plenty to say about it. It's not so much the Boston Celtics are down 0-1 to the Miami Heat. I wonder if they have enough players on their team to overcome their head coach when it comes to Joe Mazzulla and not just tying the series at one, but even winning this series versus Miami.
So, in his post-presser, first off, by the way, his post-pressers are theater.
They really
like,
are.
Like, I literally stay on the channel after the game just because I want to see what he's going to say to the media because there's such like a contentious relationship, Key. Like, he always be throwing jabs at him. Like, oh, you're not going to ask me about my adjustments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then he dropped the mic and walked out of the press conference.
Like, and even like the way he answered the question last time about the 46-point third quarter, he was like, oh, no, we won 3 out of 4 quarters.
I know.
And, you know, we came in the game prepared. We were ready. We were prepared. And then we let go of the rope. And I'm like, but if your boy is hanging off the cliff and you let go of the rope, please grab the rope.
Help.
Save your friend from falling off the cliff. Grab it.
Go on
that
without me.
Use one timeout. He did not use one timeout for that 46-point third quarter, the whole quarter. And it's little things like that where you're looking at this matchup, and we always talk about matchups. Oh, this is Jokic versus LeBron, or LeBron versus Steph, or Jimmy Butler versus Jason Tatum. So let's talk about the biggest mismatch there is in the playoff teams that are remaining. That's Eric Spoelstra versus Joe Mazzulla.
That's the biggest mismatch that nobody's talking about. We always go back to the X's and O's on the court, but Eric Spoelstra is crowned as the best coach in the game right now.
No doubt.
We keep saying how it is a damn shame he has not won Coach of the Year yet for a guy that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 out of the past 4 years. That's matched up against who? The Boston Celtics. So his coaching style going against a first-year head coach, those are micro adjustments that just has a huge leverage point for the Heat. Huge.
It is a huge leverage point for the Heat, and I mentioned it earlier when you talk about Jay being outmanned from a personnel standpoint, yep. But yet and still, you have a coach. We deal with it a lot in football. Oh, they don't have this, they don't have that. But they got a coaching staff that understands how to put people in place. Bill Belichick did it for how long? Forever, mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Tom Brady and then a bunch of other guys. And he knew how to get the best and the most out of those guys that he had to go on to win championships. And this is sort of what you're seeing with Eric Spoelstra, where he's getting enough out of the players that he has based on his X's and O's and the way that he the culture, so to speak, of the Heat culture, in the way that they go about doing things, where you may personnel-wise and skill-wise be outmanned, but you have an advantage over the guy who's calling the shots on the other side because he hasn't been through the turmoil that you've been through for your tender in Miami. Joe Mazzulla, he's just – remember, Jay, what was it, October? September, October, when he was parachuted into the situation? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he gets an extension. He's now the interim tag is taken off of him. He's now the permanent head coach. He may have never, ever been an NBA head coach if the situation didn't happen. He might have been a lifetime assistant. So he's still learning how to even coach as a head coach in the NBA on a it's a different level, Jay. Yeah. You know
no,
that.
No, different level. I get it. I get it.
On top of that, I'm sure you got Pat Riley. You know, Pat Riley, every now and then they meet, they talk about stuff. You got another head coach, NBA championship guy, giving him little nuggets. Hey, man, think about this next time out.
You got Brad Stevens on your side, too, though, who's coaching the same team. Obviously, there's a difference between Brad Stevens and Pat Riley, for sure. You're right. But, Key, I'm with you. And that's how reasonable, practical people should look at it. Unfortunately, though.
Are you calling me reasonable?
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you're in Boston media or you're a fan of the Celtics, you're not reasonable right now.
There's no such thing as reason.
You've been waiting with this core for a very long time to win a chip.
Yeah, and I wanted that core. I wonder how much of that could be maybe in their minds in that locker room in Boston thinking, man, we got to overcome our coach and Timothy Butler and that guy on the other side of Miami, and we're down 0-1 after losing game 1 at home.
Well, before game 1, Al Horford had to stop practice and say that they were lethargic. And they were daywalking. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a major, problem. Yeah, we'll see if they can fix that problem, try to tie the series by playing.
You're a problem, Jay. You heard Joy.
Key has a problem with the Denver Nuggets, and he's not backing off of that. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.